Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest in the studio, Paige Yaxley, who is a specialist who is board certified in veterinary emergency and critical care. Welcome to the show, Paige.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Paige, the reason I wanted to have you on board is because the work that you're doing in terms of hospice with Michigan State University's vet school is really fascinating and groundbreaking. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what it is that you've set up over there?
Sure, I'd love to. So I founded Veterinary Hospice Care. It opened November 1st at Michigan State. It's a service that is destined to be an in-home hospice care service provided to terminally ill or chronically debilitated pets to bridge the gap between terminal diagnosis and either natural death or euthanasia.
Okay, so for folks that don't follow the whole concept of hospice, the concept is that when someone is going to pass away, and it's a matter of time, this is a way to make that time pass as pain-free and, frankly, as positively as possible. Is that fair?
That's right. We try and make it a good quality of time that's shared between the owner and the pet, and that the owner the pet doesn't have to be challenged by going back to the car and into the veterinarian where there's a lot of stress involved. We try and make that time good as far as what time we have.
Okay. And well, go ahead, Rick.
No, and the one thing I noticed when I was reading through a personal statement you had is how in the veterinary community you kind of have a groundbreaking opportunity, and that you tend to look at the veterinarian practice too as something that's all part of that hospice care that needs some evolution. Can you kind of comment a little bit about that?
Sure. So hospice is not a recognized specialty within the realm of veterinary medicine. It's only been out in human medicine for roughly about 30 years now, and we're taking strides to become more like human medicine from that standpoint. But I practice palliative care medicine in the home. We find creative ways to meet patients' symptoms to improve upon set issues regarding those patients and their level of comfort. And also we try to alleviate fear and concern that the owner has in regards to trying to make that time well spent and good between the two.
Now, have you found that the general veterinary community, now that I saw that you had done some seminar work and whatnot, I would assume that there's quite an audience of individuals that are anxious to kind of listen in and learn more about what you have to offer.
Yes, a lot of what I do is based out of education, educating predominantly initially starting with the veterinary community. We as veterinarians have it really ingrained in our head that euthanasia is a very accepted privilege, that we can provide a rapid and pain-free death to our patients without having to have them go through a long, drawn-out suffering period. And because euthanasia is so well accepted that oftentimes people mistakenly view hospice as anti-euthanasia, and that's not the case at all. And so through a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of public speaking engagements and trying to promote the word of hospice out there, I think that we've succeeded, at least on a local level, of making everybody aware that hospice does not mean that it's not euthanasia, and that it's just a way to have a good exit from the world of the living. And in doing that, in getting the word out there, we've had a lot of tremendous impact on the pet owner community who want more information about hospice because they enjoy the idea of having their animal be at home as opposed to being in the hospital in their last days.
Now, one of the questions that I've got for you, Paige, is what kinds of ailments would prescribe themselves for hospice care? I mean, what are the types of diseases that really hospice is going to be very appropriate for? And opposite question, which ones really would preclude it?
Again, if we follow after what human medicine does, the largest amount of patients in human medicine hospice are mostly cancer patients. And similarly, veterinary cancer patients do well in hospice, too, because we have a time from diagnosis. Sometimes we have treatment like chemotherapy and radiation, but we have time to plan for the way that animal's death will happen. So cancer patients are great patients for hospice patients, but also any kind of chronic or terminally debilitating disease. So patients with chronic kidney failure, patients with potentially heart failure, patients with neurologic disorders that are progressive but not acutely so, patients that have just severe osteoarthritis are good candidates for hospice care because it involves just chronic manipulation of pain medication and alternate therapies to try and keep those patients comfortable. To answer the second part of your question, the patients that are not good candidates for hospice care are the ones that have an acute illness where there isn't a middle ground option, where the patient is suffering and potentially the only way to alleviate the suffering is through euthanasia or some kind of other major medical intervention or surgical intervention.
Gotcha.
I'm just curious, is there kind of a pathway of, you know, with human hospice being around for so short a period of time, I'm just curious if now that we are into animal hospice, pet companion animal hospice, if there's things that we can learn when we go down that journey that might be applicable to human hospice care.
Yes, I think that the two will be intertwined, similar to the way that our medicine often builds off of human medicine, which then often builds back off of veterinary medicine. I do spend some hours a year. I volunteer at Sparrow Hospice House in the human hospice side of the world, just to, be a volunteer, but also to glean information on what they're doing on the human aspect so that we can manipulate that into how to take care of our veterinary hospice patients well. Similarly to human hospice, we've visualize the unit of care as being not just the pet, but also the family members, which is where my team of people who volunteer with me come into play, because I work very closely with Linda Lawrence, who's a social worker who facilitates pet grief that those owners will suffer. And she and I run the pet loss support group out of Michigan State University for after the death has happened, coping with the loss.
Now,
it kind of reminds me a little of Ellie's Place for Humans, you know, just an opportunity for individuals that have had one significant relationship that they've lost, that they can go and kind of find companionship, I would assume.
Yes.
Well,
fantastic.
And that leads me to really try and understand, in terms of the benefits to the human beings of having people around that know what they're doing, from the animal standpoint, how do they benefit from having that? Because they still have the disease, they're still going through this, but are there, you had mentioned not going to the vet being one example of a benefit. What else is there that is good for the animal when it comes to this type of treatment?
I think the benefit to the animal is decreased stress during an already stressful, physiologically stressful time in their life. They get to spend it at home. If their pet is opposed to taking oral medication, then we can train the owner in how to maybe give medication in injectable form, or maybe we can make it into a cream form that they can apply to the skin instead of giving a pill by mouth. We can help them with their hygiene needs at home, again, training an owner how to turn and take care of a patient who may be debilitated and down. And that also not only provides comfort to the animal because the caregiver is their family member, if you will, their human family member, but it also provides comfort to the human family member because they get to gain a little bit of control in a situation that's very uncontrollable, that then again builds confidence into their decision-making ability, and that they always have a support system in my service that they can call and say, okay, this is what's going on. What do I need to do? How can I help my patient? Could you come out and reevaluate the situation? And that's the uniqueness to the hospice care service, as opposed to, well, you have to call and make an appointment, or you have to come through an emergency service, and that can be very stressful for both the patient and the family.
Yeah, it sure can be. Now, how are other pets in the household affected when they see this? Because, for example, when I went through the end of life of my dog, he was the only dog that I had. Now I have two dogs who have essentially been together their entire life. And I can only imagine what one is going to go through if anything happens to the other. Talk a little bit about that.
I get asked this question a lot, and I am of the belief that animals are emotional beings, and I feel that animals do grieve when they have the loss of another animal in the household, that they manifest it in different ways, just like people manifest grief in different ways. Having the pet be at home and having the pet have nursing care at home, the pet that is the buddy, if you will, the healthy buddy in the household, gets to see that. They get to spend time together. And oftentimes they're a silent partner. They are there in physicality, but they have a transition period just like we do. And they get to accept that more so.
Does it help them deal with the fear? Because one of the things that I've heard, and I don't know, again, if it's true, is that a lot of times they can smell the disease, and it creates fear in the animal.
Yeah, I don't know if it... Obviously, I wish I could ask them and ask them to say, does this relieve your fear?
Sure.
We do go through a whole list of questions with owners about what their fears are for their animal and try and address those at the time of entrance into hospice care. As far as the pets, the partner pets in the household, my belief is that I think that they are very aware on levels that I don't think that most of us are, and that it's very normal for them to... be present, but be very quiet, both during care and during euthanasia of the animal or death of the patient, that I think they know and accept it as best as they can.
Interesting. When it comes to this whole concept of pet hospice, why has it taken so long?
That's a great question. I think it's just taken so long because we've been so accepting of euthanasia, and that also I think our pets' roles in our lives has evolved. You know, we used to have pets that lived outdoors that had purpose. They were hunters. They were protection. They, you know, were our shepherds. They did all these things for us. And now, as we become a more introverted society, as we stay indoors, as we don't even go out and meet people, we meet people on the internet from our living rooms. The only thing that's there with us oftentimes is a pet, and that we have this strong human-animal bond that has evolved into what our pets are today. In America, we have more pets than we have children. So they have changed in society. And therefore, I think now is a time for hospice, and that the pet owner population is now starting to ask and demand for this.
Well, it's a fascinating concept, and we appreciate your efforts in founding it here at Michigan State. Paige, if any of our listeners are interested in more information about it or getting in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can read about me on the web at www.cvm.msu.edu/hospice, or you can reach me via telephone at 517-719-6200.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with Paige Yaxley, who is a specialist board certified in veterinary emergency and critical care, and she has taken the enormous steps in co-founding the hospice through the Michigan State University Veterinary School. Paige, thank you so much for what you've done. It makes a big difference, I'm sure, in a lot of people's lives.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue our conversation conversation and shift gears a little bit. Last week, we got the chance to hear about training dogs from a female perspective. Well, this week, we're going to hear it from as male of a perspective as I know of. We've got Mike Morgan, the police dog trainer, coming in to have that conversation right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/MMPets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.